And it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Time to listen to something that's a little bit more happy.
And positive.
And positive. And that's food, right, Sharon?
Oh, yeah, that's a welcome change.
Yeah, it smells so good in here.
It's great.
Yeah, we got Clancy's here, Clancy's Public House, and they brought in some corned beef and cabbage and some of their trimmings too.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you to Clancy's.
Yeah, and you know, whoever's in the studio came down and ate and kind of polished it off.
That's beautiful.
So we're here live.
Who could blame them?
We were worried that we were going to have to record this and play this later, but we're here live. We came right after Donald Trump, and he's going to come in here and probably get some corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, you know.
I think that's his favorite food.
With his gloves on.
Yes,
sure.
I think he's going.
But not to make light of it or anything.
Yeah, I know. It's such a beautiful day out, too.
I know.
For all this, like, terrible stuff going
so
on.
So nice, yeah.
So we want you, the listeners, to call in 769-9577, 769-9577. We have Brendan and Carrie here from Clancy's Public House out of Portage. They brought in some corned beef and cabbage, getting ready for Irish Day, the green beer, and all the trimmings, huh, Sharon?
Mm-hmm, beautiful.
So what's going on out there? Anything special?
You know, just a lot of closures and, you know, things of that nature. That's basically the topic of the day.
Doesn't it feel like there's like a major like snowstorm that's going to hit us or something like that? It's just odd.
It feels very surreal, very odd. You know, schools are closed and, you know, gatherings are closed, events are closed, anything that, you know, social events and community events, culture events, everything, anything that brings people together, you know, that's pretty much going to be off the charts.
And all the sports are
at least the next couple. Yeah, all the sports.
So basically, this is like a national, like almost like a vacation.
This is a national emergency.
But everyone's off.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, except for us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and they're joining us here on WLPR.
Yeah.
Lakeshore Public Radio.
Exactly.
89.1 FM for Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick, and we want you to call in.
You don't put that yourself at risk to make a phone call. They can call.
You can just call. Nothing comes over the airways. And Clancy's Public House has gift cards to give out if you call in and ask a good question. How are you going to get there today?
You know, we're going to do the old-fashioned method.
Oh, we want to be open air.
Yeah, let's
so
see.
So we don't get any kind of virus on us or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. So let's just walk out. You know, if we walk out here in the open.
Yeah, we should be fine.
Nothing should get us.
So why you got that face mask and all that plastic gear on it? You worried about me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, wait. Oh, you brought, oh, yeah, this is Mr. Ed.
Yes.
Mr. Ed the horse is going to take us all the way to Portage. You know, the nice alfresco way. To get there.
He likes to drive.
He likes to drive. You whipping him? No, you're not.
No,
whipping.
No,
you're just
never,
patting him on
never.
The back, butt a little bit to get
it's
going.
His world. I just live in it.
I'm glad you got the reins and not me.
Exactly.
But you know what? I think Mr. Ed does like corned beef and cabbage.
Oh yeah, who doesn't?
I know who does. I mean, what Clancy's brought in is basically gone already, and we got a small staff here today.
The people, yeah. That's just the way it is.
I know they gave you a little bit of.
That's really sweet of them.
That's
great. Thank you, Dee.
So, okay, we're pulling up in front of
Clancy's. Yeah, here, we're to the end of our ride here.
And we got Carrie and we got Brendan here in the studio live. And they got gift cards, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. You won't catch anything over the airways. And get yourself a gift card from Clancy's Public House out of Portage. So, Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having
You're
me.
You're all in your green. I love that shirt.
Well,
it's a really nice shirt.
Thank you. I call it my Irish tablecloth shirt.
Very, very festive.
Very festive. Very festive. So give everyone a little feel about yourself. What's, you know, your background, where you're from, stuff like that.
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago. I'm a Northsider, which is somewhat unusual for the Irish. They always think you're automatically from the South Side.
They do.
But grew up on the North Side. I'm a first generation. Grew up in the grocery business working for my father and started doing corned beef and sandwiches down there. He opened up in 1968.
What was the name of the grocery store?
That was called Clancy's on the Avenue. It was on Michigan Avenue.
Because Sharon's from lives out in Chicago.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What neighborhood?
Well, I lived in Rogers Park when I first moved back from Vegas. And now I live in the suburbs, Brookfield. Oh.
So was that grocery store kind of like geared, like and had a little bit of Irish spin to it, or?
Well, you know, if you consider personality and ambiance part of being Irish, I think that, that carries through in everything that you do. So I would say yes.
Yes. So what were you doing there? You were making sandwiches and?
Yeah, we actually served the entire community. We were a multifaceted, basically a full-service grocery store. We butchered meat.
Oh, really?
We had fresh produce, you know, and obviously all your groceries.
Okay. So have you always been in the food business?
I have, actually, yeah, ever since I was a wee little lad.
So after the, were you always working at grocery store, or did you venture out into the restaurants and things like that? How did you get to this point?
Well, we also did a lot of catering back then.
Okay.
And so that kind of got me into the restaurant end of things. And then when I moved to Portage with my beautiful wife, Michelle, and I had my daughter, Mary, and actually Bonnie was born the day that we moved to, well, actually the day after. She was born the day before we moved to Portage. So she has basically been a resident in Portage since the day she was born. So we moved there back in 2010.
Okay.
And opened up Clancy's in 2012, and here we are 18 years later.
Wow. And you have Carrie with you.
I do have Carrie, my fantastic manager.
Carrie's your manager. How you doing, Carrie?
Great, thanks.
Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone out there?
My name is Carrie Cook, and I am the manager at Clancy's Public House.
And give us a little bit of background, like maybe where you graduated from or, you know,
sure.
things like that.
I went to Emerson. It was a high school in Gary.
I went
Gary.
To Emerson.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Yep. And when I was a little kindergartner.
Yeah. It's no longer there, but that's where I graduated from. And then I've been in the service industry for 26 years.
So what other places have you worked at?
I worked at a place called the Port Tavern, and all of them were in Portage, and Ryan's Tavern.
Okay.
And then I was lucky enough to get to Clancy's.
So how long have you been working with Brendan?
4 years. Approximately about 4 years.
And what are some of your duties there?
You know, I do the staffing. I make sure that the ordering is done. Everybody is happy and served.
Okay. Now, Brendan, who else is involved in your day-to-day operation? Is your wife involved and your kids involved?
Well, Mary does help us with the books in the morning, and Bonnie is away at school. She's a freshman at Purdue.
Okay.
And my wife is the bean counter of the business. She's the one that keeps the business afloat and tells me when I'm not doing things properly. so basically, the way I look at it is my job is to make sure the bathrooms are clean and she runs everything else.
So I guess it was natural for you to open up a Irish pub.
I think
was it something you threw, you know, you were kind of, you know, fighting to do something else? Was there other ideas that you were thinking of before you started the Irish pub?
You know what, it's hard to explain. And yes, I think that I could do a lot of different things, but I think that the great thing about an Irish pub is that people have to keep in mind that it's derived from the word public house. And the public
house. That's why you call it public house.
Where the word pub came from.
Okay. And I thought it was from a burger. But anyways.
No. Well, it was the other way around, I think. And as you go back in history and you look at what pubs were, they were the center of the community, whether it's where the weddings were or it's where the funerals were or all family get-togethers. Actually, governments, the majority of the War of Independence was all designed and thought out through the pubs on the East Coast. So it's a cultural part. It's a hub of a community, and it's kind of like the heart and soul in many little towns today.
I heard some of these public houses were actually the banks for some of the towns.
Absolutely.
I think that's how People's Bank started.
And absolutely. Not only the banks, but cashing the checks and all the funding. And that holds true today when you go into some of the smaller communities that they still provide those services.
Do you have any ties towards Ireland? Do you have any relatives over there?
I have a, no pun intended, but a boatload of relatives.
Oh, really? Yes. I thought you were going to say nope.
My father was born in Westport, and my mom's family is from Swinford.
Oh, wow, you're 100.
They're both from, that's County Mayo, and that's on the east coast of Ireland. I'm sorry, west coast. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's absolutely gorgeous, just above Galway. And I think that also helped influence the idea of bringing in the Irish pub, because you get all the influence of culture and the importance of culture and the importance of family and the importance of people. So I think that all kind of goes hand in hand.
Carrie, any Irish in you? I mean, the name sounds Irish.
No, only when I work.
Well, while you're working, when you're working, tell everyone out there. And, folks, you need to call in, 769-9577, 769-9577, and ask Brendan or Carrie a question about an Irish public house. What I was going to say is tell us a little bit about, because you're the manager, what's the atmosphere like? What does it look like, the ambiance? What do people expect when they walk in?
I believe what I think that you'll notice when you first come to Clancy's is we have a beautiful bar. We really do.
I noticed that. Yeah. It's all like in earth tones and stuff.
Yeah, it's the wood.
Yeah.
Brendan brought it in when he bought the bar and redid the whole thing, and it really is beautiful. So I think that's the first thing you notice, and the fact that we're very clean is important.
How many seats do you have in there? How many can you see?
In the entire establishment, or just in the pub?
No, just in the. I mean, in the entire. Oh, because do you have banquet areas?
We do actually. We have a catering hall, banquet hall in the rear, and then we also have an adjacent room next to the pub.
Okay, so like in the pub, if I was just to walk in the pub, I mean, how many people can you sit about?
Right around 50.
50. That's a good size.
Yeah.
What's the most black and tans you've ever served at once?
We never serve a black and tan.
Why not?
Because black and tans are actually named after the people that came to collect the money from the poor peasant Irish and burned their houses down.
Really?
So,
you know all this history.
This is all Greek to me. So what's? I don't understand. What's black and tan?
Traditionally, a Guinness served with a Bass is a black and tan. It's a half and half.
It's really cool looking. It separates in the glass.
And the half and half is actually, when you think about it, it's harp and Guinness.
Okay.
And so that's how you can remember black and tan, black Bass, half and half harp H.
Okay.
So that's why we, a lot of times, and I'm talking, it's old tradition and old folklore, and but that's kind of where that came from.
No, this is good. I'm glad you're educating me on this.
That's why we do these shows, so we get education out there. How many taps you got?
10.
10 taps. Mm-hmm. Now, are all the taps domestic, or do you guys do anything with the micro? I mean, there's so many breweries around here.
We keep a flowing, a rotating lines. So there are some, we will always have Guinness, and then we've always got Smittix, which is an Irish ale.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got our domestics, but we fairly try to keep it local with some of the breweries out there, like 18th Street and Three Floyds. We tend to rotate those, but we've got 10, and we always we pride ourselves on pouring a perfect pint.
Oh,
so
what is a perfect pint? Like with no foam, just nothing but.
Oh no! There actually is head. There's especially on a Guinness. So a Guinness, you pour and it settles, and then we actually draw clover on top of the. I mean, it's something that we pride ourselves on.
So these microbreweries, do they ever offer you anything that's close to a Guinness or anything like that? Is there anything, do they ever replicate it? So, no?
There's a lot of great stouts out there, and they do a great job with them. But trying to, you're talking about a flavor and a style that's been around for hundreds of years, and I think it would be pretty hard to duplicate. I mean, there are great stouts out there, definitely. I mean, you've got Murphy's and some of the other ones, and some of the locals do great different kind of stouts, whether it's oatmeal stout or a hearty stout. But Guinness is awful tough to there's some things that you just shouldn't bother trying to do.
So do you, when you were talking 18th Street Brewery, do you bring in any of their spirits? Because they've come here, and they've had their own vodka. They got their own bourbon. They got all. Do you ever dabble with any of that yet?
Right now, we're just strictly local with the draft, with the beers.
So, would you consider yourself food or mainly a pub?
I think that the just the word pub encompasses everything.
Okay, so do you feel like you do a lot out of the bar area more, or is it equal with the food? Do you do good distribution of both?
There's a good balance of both, especially when you bring in catering.
Okay,
and whether it's the food or the pub side or whatever it is, you just want it to be the best that it could be.
So tell us what's going on for St. Patrick's Day, because you guys got a lot going on starting tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So either one, jump in and tell us what's going on for St. Patrick's Day. And folks, call in 769-9577, get a gift card, and visit Clancy's Irish Pub or Clancy's Public House. And see what's going on for St. Patrick's Day, and they're going to tell us.
Sure. On Saturday, we open at 1:30. We will be serving corned beef and cabbage full meals at 4 o'clock. We have if you're not in for the corned beef and cabbage, we also have a Reuben, Lake Perch. It's somewhat of a limited menu, but it's all hot and ready for you. We will be having bagpipers come in after 9 o'clock. Ron Barney is an acoustic folk, Irish folk player. He will be with us from 5 to 10, and then we'll have Irish music for the rest of the evening. It's a pretty big. It's really exciting. It's our favorite day of the year.
Okay, so that's all from Saturday until.
That is Saturday from 1:30 till close.
Okay, that's.
And then and then we're going to have a festivities on Tuesday as well, March 17th.
And what are those festivities? The same, like a kind of a replica of what you did.
Yeah, pretty much the same, but on a bigger scale. Okay. St. Patty's Day, it's the actual day, so we're pretty excited for that. We will open regular hours, that is 11 till 3 in the morning, serving food at 11. Okay. So if people want to come in for lunch or get lunch for work, you know, we're all for that. Irish Bagpipers will be in after 8 o'clock on Tuesday. And then Ron Barney will be with us as well.
So you guys made this corn. You guys are roasting the corned beef yourself and everything. Can you tell us how you kind of do it?
Perfectly.
I mean,
he could tell you. He'd have to kill you.
Do you roast it? I mean, because some people boil it, some people roast it. So how do you guys deal with it?
They're both right. We do it kind of in between.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you boil a little bit and then roast it?
No, it's a process that involves both at one time, basically. Oh, okay. We seal it, and then that roasting process also becomes a steaming process.
Okay.
And it infuses a lot more of the flavor.
That's how I kind of do my pork butts.
Yep,
exactly. I kind of cover it, and then the juices kind of like steam and cook and soften
exactly.
It all at the same time. So what's included on the corned beef and cabbage? What's the meal include?
Corned beef, cabbage, potatoes, carrots and onions, and bread.
And that's what you brought in here?
That is.
Sharon, did you have any yet?
You know, I had a bite of the corned beef, and it was delicious. And now I'm looking you guys up on the website.
So go ahead.
I have to say, as a testament to what we do, that generally last year we actually did 1,000 pounds of corned beef, and we sold out of 1,000 pounds of corned beef.
That's crazy.
So, I mean.
In dinners.
How many people do you think
What did that equate to, you think?
Actually, a lot less than you would think, because the way the cooking process that we use is, and you're familiar with it, you lose a great deal of that weight. So you're probably looking at 420 to 460 actual serving pounds.
Right.
And we serve a very, very, very hefty portion.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably looking at anywhere from 320 to 400 servings.
Wow.
It's just, it's hard to gauge.
And do you do that in that same period of time, like 4 days or?
Always 2 days.
2 days.
It's always the Saturday before and then on St. Patrick's Day itself. Unless, of course, St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday, then it's only that day.
Wow. That's a lot of corned beef. Like me, I'm just going to have a Reuben. That's it.
That's all good. You're going to love that too.
That's all I'm going to have. But you guys have the Reubens. You have what other? You know, we're in the lentil season. So what are you offering for the lentil season? Are you doing fish and chips? Are you doing things like that?
We always have perch on the menu, and it's going to be. We have a very extremely limited menu for St. Patrick's Day because
of the corned beef and cabbage.
Well, it's extreme volume.
Oh, right.
You're looking at full size 6-inch deep pans of a full cabbage, and that's pretty bulky, so it takes up the majority of our kitchen. We are a very small mom and pop shop, so it's very hard to make sure that you want the food to go out with the quality that people expect. You have to make sure that you weigh that in and gauge it.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you employ? What do you think?
Currently at Clancy's?
Yeah.
Four.
Wow, you guys run.
I take it back. Five.
Five people.
And if my wife gets paid, it's six.
So when we're not talking St. Patrick's Day, what other foods do you offer, like entrees and sandwiches and things like that?
We have a variety of burgers. We always have what we call, it's called the steak grinder, which is probably my favorite sandwich on the menu. It's almost equivalent to kind of like an Italian beef, but chopped very fine with sautéed green pepper and onion, served with a A1 mayo sauce. Mixed in with mozzarella cheese that's not just melted on top, but actually melted in through the meat. It's really, really good.
Now, you do anything with chicken? Chicken breast, any baked chicken, anything like that?
The new menu that's coming up, we will have some chicken items. We find that traditionally chicken seems to move a lot better in the summer and the spring.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you do things, any seafood other than the lake perch, and you do like a fish and chip? I mean, do you have any other things that you offer?
Once in a while, we'll do a bluegill, okay. A bluegill dinner.
Okay. Now, salads. You deal with like tossed salads and anything like that?
On the new menu, we will have, it's basically a baby green salad.
Okay.
Just so that we have that to offer. And, you know, so that we can appeal to everybody.
Does Clancy's do a seasonal menu? You said new menu.
We try to change it up every 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, any, like, what kind of appetizers you guys offer there?
I'd actually like to, we have corned beef fritters.
Oh.
Which we do a corned beef.
What? Corned beef fritters?
Mm-hmm.
So you have corned beef year-round. You have the Reuben, I'm sure, year-round. But do you roast that corned beef for that Reuben? So you're not just – okay.
Correct. You're not getting just budding lunch meat. Okay. You're actually getting the slow-roasted, sliced corned beef.
Okay.
But for our fritters, which they really are a big hit, they're basically – chopped corned beef with some sauerkraut rolled into a cream cheese ball, battered in panko, and then deep fried.
Yeah,
they're kind of amazing. Yeah.
Why didn't you bring that?
Yeah.
Not sure.
I know, right?
Yeah, no, we need that. Folks,
that sounds good.
Give us a call and visit with Clancy's Public House, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. Get a gift card from Clancy's Public House. We got Brendan and Carrie here.
Get the porcelain buggy and go back out and get some.
I don't know. I think everyone's, with that speech.
Right.
So how has this, I don't want to get to something negative, but how has the corona thing affected you so far, you think?
As a business?
Yeah, as business. Has it?
I don't think that we've seen an impact yet, but I certainly believe that we're going to. And mm-hmm. I also think that we have a responsibility to make sure that our business is cleaned and as safe as possible. Especially in these times, it's something that we really have to concentrate on.
It is crazy times, though. I never remember anything like
this is crazy.
In my lifetime. And I'm 60, and I don't remember anything.
I was kind of counting on the Irish to say, let the drinking continue.
So what would you consider a signature item on your menu?
I would definitely say the fritters.
The fritters?
Mm-hmm.
Fritters and the grinder, I think, are the most unique.
The most unique. Now, do you guys have, like, any kind of... contests or anything like that you offer? Do you guys do things during the year like who can drink a yard faster? Or do you have yards there?
We do not. We try to stay away from drinking games. We're more of a public house and not a nightclub.
Okay. I'm hearing more and more of that from the people I get on here.
Yeah, it's just a little something different. I mean, and today in society, it's kind of changed. It's not somebody going in and sitting down and having 15 beers. They might have three quality microbrews or two over, a period of time. So you're looking at a different culture, per se.
So that's why food has become more important in your business, I think, in the past. I think in the past, some of these places was like, let's serve a lot of booze, and okay, we got some food. But now it's become, you got to have a pretty good menu.
It's definitely more competitive, and I think that's a good thing. It challenges you more to do a better job.
It does, yes. Yep. And you got to have variety, too. It can't be just one way.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for joining us here on Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR, 89.1 FM. We're listening to Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. And our guests today are Brendan and Carrie from Clancy's Public House out of Portage. And what's neat about Clancy's Public House out of Portage is they're going to have some great events for the next 2 days for St. Patrick's Day. And they're giving out gift cards here at the radio station. So just call in and we'll mail them out.
Mm-hmm. It's that easy. And you get to be a part of the show and contribute and ask a question. It's good.
Green beer?
Never.
Oh, you guys never... That's against the... that's not good.
I said that like never. You know?
Green beer, I just don't think... it's necessary. If you're a true Irish pub, and we are, you're Irish every day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that there's any really good, legitimate reason to mess with a perfectly good beer by making it green.
You never get any kind of backlash from that? Like not
people
you
know? Ask all the time. And, really? And yeah, I mean, if you can say Guinness, Harp, and Smittix, three beers strong, in Ireland, green beer is wrong.
Oh, they don't do a green beer in Ireland, yeah. Huh?
I would highly doubt it. St. Patrick's Day in Ireland is much more of a cultural and religious day.
Oh,
people nice. Go to Mass, go to the parade.
Can you give us a little background? Do you have background on that? And your knowledge, background of St. Patrick's Day, what it's all about?
Well, I believe, you know,
because I don't, I'm a Greek guy. I just know about Upa and
Yasa. And you seem like you know your stuff
yeah.
here with the
well,
history.
Yeah, but now you stump me. St. Patrick was a patron saint of Ireland.
Okay.
Under tradition, he drove the snakes from Ireland. He was a missionary that converted, I believe it was the Celts. And him, actually, he went to school with St. Brendan, and I think they learned under St. Ita.
Okay. And they drink green beer, I bet you.
You know, I wouldn't surprise me.
Because it's that around. There's no refrigeration. That takes me to another point. You always hear about warm beer. Or is do people or drink beer warm, room temperature? Is that a German thing? Is that a thing at all?
It's a European thing, I think. I don't really believe that it's warm, though.
Okay.
They say, well, it's not refrigerated. Well, most of the time in these little pubs, in the old bars, and in the old in Europe, they were in cellars.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need refrigeration. That's 48 to 40. It's a little.
It's like room temperature, almost, a little below.
It's cooler than room temp, a little higher than a refrigerator, which is 38 to 42.
Right.
But it's still pretty cool. So to say that it's warm, I think it's warm under the perspective if you're used to drinking an ice cold beer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that it's not. It's not. I wouldn't call it warm. I'd mm-hmm. call it cool.
Right.
So, Carrie, are you behind the bar ever?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yep. So do you guys deal with frosted mugs? How do you guys
generally we do not do frosted mugs. Our beer is kept at a really cold temperature.
And what temperature is that?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
I'm just wondering, you know, people out there.
It's 36 to 38 degrees.
And really?
And we have a hydrocool system that actually keeps the beer. It's basically a chill box.
Uh-huh.
It keeps the beer refrigerated from the walk-in cooler all the way through to the beer line to the tap.
Now, Carrie, I'm going to ask you because of the bar question.
Sure.
What's one of your signature drinks?
We actually do a great chocolate martini.
I've never heard that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring a chocolate martini?
I've had those before.
I need
those
one today.
Yeah, that's actually
my
served.
Cook is gone. You know, it's just me and another dude. I need a chocolate martini.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's actually served in a frosted, in a chilled martini glass.
You'd have to go to Clancy's.
With a drizzle of Hershey syrup. Yeah, it's amazing. You should come in. Have one.
I should come in and have one. I need one now.
You guys are in Portage.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. You said that.
So when you're behind the bar, do you have any special ice cubes? You know how you hear about the ice cubes? You know, they have big ice cubes that are made, you know, with water that's from the Antarctica.
Yes, all of our water is imported all the way from Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And it's actually maintained at 32 degrees year round.
So you don't have any kind of, you just use regular ice.
Is all the air taken out of the ice to make it into a perfect cube and, you know, how it looks on in the commercials?
Yeah, not that pretty.
No.
You now, since you're a public house, is there room for kids? I mean, can you do anything like that? Or it's pretty much.
We're a 21 and over establishment.
Okay. So I'll stay out. So you rotate your menu every 6 months, but do you do like now you got the corned beef and cabbage? Do you do anything like for the 4th of July? Do you do anything special? Do you know just tell us some of the events that will be coming up?
We try to always do events and something special to keep things going. In the summer we'll do cookouts. We do a lot of. We actually do a lot to give back to the community. Brendan does.
Okay.
Actually.
Brendan, tell us some of the philanthropy projects you're involved with.
Well, you know what? I'm always happy to give back. It's kind of the way that you're raised. Giving back, just it's priceless. It's, you know, that's why you're there.
Right.
I think that's why we've been there for 18 years, because I do believe it's a circular world. Been pretty fortunate to be able to help people, you know. It's a good feeling.
Okay. So,
So what have you done, if you don't mind us asking?
I do a lot of different things, but I don't want to really.
Oh,
well, tell us your other position. What else do you do? You have this is not your only job.
No, I'm also the Portage Township Trustee.
There you go.
Oh,
that keeps them very busy.
Indeed, it does.
Tell everyone out there what does it entail?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, because in the state of Indiana, all townships are different, so you can't really use a cookie cutter approach or definition. In some townships, they may not have a senior center. In some townships, they may not have fire departments. In some townships, they may not have parks. In some townships, they might not have cemeteries. In some townships, they might not have outreach programs or certain assistance programs. We actually, in Portage Township, encompass all those things, very similar to North Township here in Lake County. Mm-hmm. So we're a multifaceted, full-service government for all intents and purposes. When people think of township government, they often think of just getting help with a NIPSCO bill, which is obviously a very important part of what we do. But it's actually a lot more than that.
They were going to eliminate townships in the state, but then they kind of backed away from that.
Well, that was based, I mean, for multiple reasons, I'm sure. There was a report done by the Kernan Shepherd report, it was called. Mm-hmm. And overall, probably a very good report, but I think that they really failed on townships because, once again, they used the cookie-cutter approach. You can't look at some townships versus other townships, which maybe they assist 100 people a year, and some townships may assist 100,000 or 5,000 people a year. What you have to look at is history of good government, look at their financials, look at how much it costs to give away services. In some townships, it might cost $1.50 to help somebody with a dollar. Well, that just doesn't make sense, and taxpayers don't like that. But in some townships, it might cost, like in Portage Township, 17 cents to give away a dollar of service. So those are the important things that people have to look at. So you can't use the cookie-cutter approach when you're addressing such an important issue, because township government is not only important to those in need, but it's also the most closest government to the people.
That's what I heard. It's the most local government you can get.
It is.
So are you an elected official?
I am.
Oh, so you had to go through the – so what is it, a four-year term?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
So when's that come up?
I'm up in a couple of years.
What made you want to do this?
Yeah.
I think it falls under that kind of really enjoying to help people. Uh-huh. It's very rewarding to me, and I've been pretty blessed in my life and able to do that. And it's just a great another way to do that, and it's a pretty good feeling.
Nice. And how long have you been?
I'm in my 10th year.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's good. So
it's like you're on your third term.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So, Carrie, do you guys do any kind of markets, and you guys go out there and do anything like that? Go out to any kind of farmer markets, put yourself out there. You're laughing at her.
Because she has to do it.
Well, she's like running the show at your place anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
From what she said she was doing. Yes. All the scheduling
making
sure everything is ordered.
She does all the hard stuff.
Yeah. During the summertime, we find ourselves doing a lot of the 4th of July. We will sometimes do outdoor beer gardens for different events that the city puts on that we've been asked to help with. So it's kind of nice. It's nice to be out there and see a different crowd sometimes.
And
you
get some good fresh air.
Sure.
And actually, that's a good idea. We should give a plug to the farmers market in Portage. That's growing every year, and they're doing a good job getting that going.
Zoned at?
It's downtown in the square. Currently, it has been on Fridays. I can't confirm that right now, but I think it's still going to be. They also have a music in the park. Okay. Which is another great free event for the residents of Portage, and that's all volunteers that put that together. Terry Harden and that whole crew. Mayor Lynch is a big help with that.
Movies on the square as well.
Yep. Yeah,
that's a good one.
They're
we do that in the Winfield area. It's right across the street from our restaurant. And when they do that, it actually brings people over.
Sure.
And it's really kind of nice.
Yeah, that's creating traffic and creating a community and creating an atmosphere where you can walk business to business and getting back to the way it should be.
That's right. That's how it should be.
I'm looking at your 360 tour here online. It's very nice. Do you have a centipede video game in there?
We sure did.
That's cool.
I enjoy the retro stuff. I mean,
yeah, I like that too.
We had some Pac-Man for a while, and then Centipede, and then the Atari mix. They try to move it in and out.
You have other games that you offer?
Sure. We have a pinball machine and darts.
Oh, I haven't done that
for a while. We do offer free pool on Mondays and, Wednesdays and Sundays.
How many tables do you have?
We have two.
Well, that's pretty good. You have a pretty large spot then. How many square footage are you?
6,000.
Wow, that's pretty good. So do you do pool tournaments? You do anything like that?
We don't actually. We don't get into that too much. Uh-huh. That would be fun for maybe some of the the regulars to put together. I think that'd be kind of cool. But then that's something that we're not a big pool bar. We're a pub that happens to have pool tables for people to have fun. Like, you know, some karaoke bars are really karaoke bars, and some are bars that have karaoke.
Now, you alluded to that you do catering.
Yes.
Okay, and you have a place to rent and things like. Can you elaborate on that for us?
We have a back room with a capacity of 80, so we do an awful lot of bridal showers and, and those type of events, bachelor parties. We've actually done several weddings. There's a 60-foot outdoor patio, so weather permitting, or we can tent it, and that obviously increases the capacity. We also do a lot of catering. We've done all over Northwest Indiana. I've done several weddings, whether it's in Woodland Park or some of the other
districts. So park you go off-premise with it?
Oh, yeah. We're an off-site licensed caterer and liquor caterer also.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Graduation parties, sadly funerals, you know, luncheons.
Okay. So what kind of notice do people have to give you on a catering?
It depends on the type of event and how many people it is. I could pretty much do anything up to 500 people if I got a week's, if I have a week's notice. Obviously, you know, just getting the logistics together. I've had much shorter notice, especially, you know, when you unfortunately a funeral or something like that comes along. So, you know, you're always happy to help, to do whatever you can to help those people in. Because they're having a hard time right now, too.
Right at the, it's, I mean, who plans on that?
Exactly.
So what's that menu like, the catering menu? Do you have an official catering menu, or are you just – now you're laughing, Kate.
Because it's in his head.
I can understand where Brendan's coming from because, I mean, you can have a menu, but somebody can come up and say, I want that. And you got to be able to say – you know, so you're pretty much what you're saying. You got a pretty much open menu?
We can, yes. We've done pretty much everything under the sun. I've done anything from surf and turfs to Mediterranean-themed weddings to vegan and or vegetarian weddings to, you know, basically we've covered the spectrum. I mean, traditionally, the majority of your weddings are your choice of three meats, your choice of potato, pasta, vegetable, salad, bread, butter, you know, your standard. We, of course, we do that all the time. But
you have a standard, like a catering menu, if they were to come up.
Yeah, that's basically it. I call it the wedding menu.
Used to call it CBS.
Yeah, exactly.
Chicken beef. Sausage.
Exactly.
But then you expand on that.
Absolutely. Yes. It's our job to give people what they need.
So you have the indoor seating. Do you also offer the outdoor seating?
Correct. The bar?
And how is that? Is that in the front? Or?
So we've got a patio area in the front of the building. When you walk in, it accommodates just probably about, I would say, 10 you know, couple little pub tables and chairs. But then in the very back of our building.
I've seen that. It's
In the summertime, that's really when it flourishes. I mean, we put out the tiki torches, and we've got a stage that we can take from the inside that we put outside. And garage door opens to where we have a full bar in the back.
Nice.
Yeah, we'd like to utilize it a lot in the summer because it really is a perfect place to sit out and enjoy a nice cocktail.
Can you smell the lake from there?
I guess it depends which way the wind is.
Yeah. I mean, you like smell that water like you feel like you're on. Yeah. How far away are you from the lake, you think?
Oh, geez. Geographically, a couple miles,
that's
maybe.
That's it. So you might even hear the water hit the shore there.
Yeah, I don't think we're that close, but I'm sure we could simulate it.
So do you do this outside? Do you bring some acoustic guitar players? Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, actually, right now we have acoustic on Saturdays from 9 to 1, and that's every Saturday. And we kind of switch it up with different people that come in and play.
You mean 9 at night to 1 in the morning?
Correct.
Wow.
During the summertime, we'll open that venue up a little bit more. Last summer we did Friday and Saturday with acoustic being outside. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard with the weather permitting, you know, but it's something that everyone really enjoys. And I'd like to do more of that this summer.
Do you guys get a pretty good draw when you have live entertainment?
Yeah, I think we do pretty well. You get the people that are coming specifically to hear that particular group and or person or duo or trio. And then you get the regulars that just want to know that they're going to come and have some nice acoustic music to listen to.
Yeah, do you do anything like comedy nights or anything like that?
We actually do.
I was just guessing.
Yeah, we actually do. At the back bar, that's where we usually do the comedy.
How does that go? I bet you that's fun. Because there's no places around here that do that anymore. I mean, they tore down the Star, you know, where you used to go for the Comedy Cottage. So you're probably one of the few that do anything.
Yeah,
like
what's
that.
Really kind of cool is they have we've got a couple different comedy acts that come in, but we've got one that's called Disposable Theater. And they're more interactive. So it's more of an improv
and
they really involve the crowd. And I've had to bartend events back there, and it's one of my favorite. I really enjoy it.
So do you sit there and make them have an audition in front of you? I mean, how do you – or you just trust their agents? How do you do that?
Well, being in business for 18 years, you kind of have a good running history and experiences with them in the past. So, the improv group has been coming with us now – couldn't even tell you, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. So it's consistency and knowledge. And honestly, nobody really needs to come out and – when they're doing it, it's kind of like their show. Mm-hmm. Although they're in Clancy's, it doesn't represent any of our views. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just comedy. It is what it is. And so it's, you know, that's the uniqueness of it.
So, Brenda, do you – like, I understand when you maybe with the acoustics, but – with the improv, that might cost. Do you guys charge for any of that?
We don't. We actually are in partnership with them, and they do. They charge $10, I believe, for a show, and they keep that. And they just they use our facilities.
Okay. Now, do you guys have a kid? I mean, can people call in and get something for a carryout? Do you guys do that?
Oh, absolutely.
So you do have a. Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys deal with DoorDash or anybody like that?
Not yet. I'm one of those guys that might be a little slow to move on that.
I think you're in my boat, but go ahead.
I'm not really sure that I want to work for them.
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, because they're kind of like when they take it, they're the face of you.
That's correct.
And I've had nothing really. I shouldn't probably say it on the air, but I've really had no good luck with them.
There's so many of them out there anymore. But once again, it's your name.
It's your name.
Yeah. And sometimes that's true.
And you know, sometimes Sharon, what they do is. They try to price it themselves.
Well, they do, or they'll add an additional service charge to you,
right?
And then the service charge to the customer.
Yeah.
So you're actually working for them.
Yeah. So if you're a small guy like us, that makes a difference. Maybe if you're a huge corporation, it's like, oh yeah, you know, that's fine.
So the way around that is just to deliver it yourself, then, right? Have your own delivery person.
Yes.
So you guys deal with you do the steak, but do you do steaks?
We don't have steak on the menu per se, but we have what they call it steak with Brendan sometimes. We do that on the weekends, maybe once a month or something like that. People really seem to enjoy that. When we first started out, we were indeed fine dining.
Were you?
Yes, we were.
So you actually had tablecloths and all that?
Oh, yeah. It's phenomenal reviews. Things went well. But, you know, with the economy and with the Portage Mall being torn down, there's a lot of different things. And I think that maybe – I kind of enjoy where I'm at now more because it's a wider spectrum and a wider variety.
Well, the food's delicious.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, what kind of bread is this that you brought? It looks like raisin bread to me, but what is it?
It's Irish soda bread.
Okay, and it has raisins?
With raisins.
Is that traditional?
You know, that is the debate that goes on forever. Traditionally, my family did not really do raisins in the soda bread, but many of them do. And actually, with that being said, soda bread, our family is more brown bread. My grandmother always made 20 loaves of brown bread every Sunday, and everybody would come over after a mass for what they call a fry. And then you would have your Irish breakfast, which is your bangers and your mash and your black pudding and your white
pudding. What's bangers?
They're sausage, Irish sausage. And, so that we were a brown bread family and raised on that with their natural grains, and it was absolutely delicious.
Now, did your parents come over from Ireland? Are you like first generation yourself?
My father was born in Westport, and he came over in the mid-50s.
Okay.
And my mom was born here. Her mother and father came over somewhere around the same time. But my grandmother came over at 16 on her own and was a maid in St. Louis and raised enough money to bring the rest of her family over, her sisters first. So that's kind of where we came from.
Sharon, you know what? This is like a mirror image because my dad came over from Greece and my mother was born here, but her parents were from Greece.
Yep.
So I don't know. We're like
that's cool.
First generation, first and a half generation. Half generation.
Exactly.
You know, so I mean, like in my family, they spoke Greek all the time.
Yep.
You know, I don't speak it. I understand it. You know, I might be able to get by a little bit, but, you know, But in Ireland, they all speak. Is dialect really hard to understand if you're when you're over there?
Because
I've listened. It's like
it's funny you say that because there are actually, as to us, we hear the Irish brogue, but there are several different versions. Mm-hmm. There are the you know from the different areas in Ireland. You can tell when somebody's from Dublin, or you can tell when somebody's from Colchima, mm-hmm. or you can tell when somebody's from Westport. So it's a very it's as distinct to them as to us being from South Carolina or Chicago.
Or New York. South side or north side of Chicago, those accents are different too. Can you speak with an Irish accent, with an Irish brogue? You look Irish.
He is Irish.
Yeah, I know. He looks very Irish.
Irish north side, Irish south side, or Irish Ireland?
I should have got you in here to do the commercial. That should have been the voice, not my voice.
I can do a little bit of the brogue now.
Oh, that's really cool.
A wee bit in. No,
that's
you.
Really good.
Nice.
That's really good. I can't even do it. I can do like a Greek guy that knows English.
I couldn't even do any of that.
So give us, Carrie, some like landmarks, like where people drive in, the address, how to get there.
So we are in the Portage Mall.
Okay.
We're on a strip. So there are a couple other businesses in the same line as we are.
Is there a church in that mall?
There's not a church, but ironically you mentioned that. Before Nativity was built, they actually held masses in that mall in a trailer. So that's where all the masses were held in downtown Portage in the Portage Mall.
Oh. So,
I take that back. There used to be a church on the second floor of a building there. You're correct.
Yeah, I've been there before because there's some other restaurants there.
Yes.
Isn't there some restaurants over there? And what is the address there?
We're at 2542 Portage Mall.
Portage Mall. And, Carrie, what's the hours of operation?
We open 11 a.m. and we stay open until 3 every day of the week.
Even Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there every day of the week?
I am there 6 days of the week.
6 days of the week. I know. That's a tough one, especially 3 in the morning.
Oh, when you enjoy your job.
Yeah. So how is the crowd? I mean, when you get later in the night, are they – you got a good crowd? I mean, you get around?
I feel like we have an eclectic mix, and that I love that. I like that we have – you know, businessmen coming in for a martini, and then we have, you know, 21-year-olds coming in for, you know, whatever the newest fad is.
Mm-hmm. See, we're basically a microcosm of the community.
Yeah,
I think.
I really.
Well, 18 years.
Yep.
Yeah. I appreciate our fine group of people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
wouldn't be there without them.
No.
What's your website? You have a website.
We do a lot of Facebook.
So you're on Facebook. What's you were just on Clancy's
it's
Public
Clancy's
House?
Clancy's Public House, and there's it would be the Portage, Indiana. There are actually a couple that will pop up when you put that in, but it's Clancy's Public House, Portage, Indiana.
So, Brendan, what's one of you, like your challenges? What really? What's one of the hardest challenges of dealing with your operation? For anyone out there that wants to open a public house,
how to do better every day?
Okay.
How to make everybody happy. How to make sure that everything's done right. How to make sure that I'll be there another 18 years. How to make sure that we can take care of our community. Some people call them challenges. I just call it life.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't think anything's – I guess everything's a
You don't take anything
challenge.
For granted, do you?
No, I don't.
You open up the door every day and you're like, am I going to get business today?
That's right. You better believe it.
And that's what keeps you going?
Yes.
That's how it works. Go ahead, Sean.
I also found you at clancysirishpubin.com. Is that – that's you?
Yeah, and that'll direct you to our Facebook page also.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Do you guys do any of your own sauces or anything like that? Do you make any, like, horseradish sauce or anything like that?
We actually have 10 different wing sauces.
Oh, really?
That we use, too.
And what are some of those?
Oh, we have a sweet chili. We have – oh, something that only we have is it's called an Irish Banshee sauce. And it's a horseradish based sauce, so it's actually got a kick to it, but it's not necessarily hot.
Now, is horseradish an Irish thing? I mean, I noticed the horseradish with the corned beef.
It's very good, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, is that, you know, because in Ireland, I mean, this is how I always envision it. It's like kind of rough terrain, growing a lot of potatoes, root vegetables, a lot of sheep. I mean,
a lot of green.
Yeah.
Your closest thing to spot on there are the root vegetables, parsnips, carrots, leeks, you know, all those kind of vegetables. I remember, you know, being there as a young boy on several occasions and, you know, being able to dig those out of the garden, and that was part of dinner. But yeah, actually, if you go to Ireland and you ask for corned beef, I don't really know if you'd get anything. I don't think it really exists there. It started in New York, right? Actually.
So, is there anything close to that?
Yeah,
there? I mean, do they actually pickle up some sheep or something like that?
No, they have. A corned beef dish, but it's not corned beef. It's more of a peppered beef.
Okay.
Oh no, it is beef. There's
peppered plenty
of, up. You know, when people think of Ireland and ironically you say the sheep or the potatoes, mm-hmm. there's a lot of great. It's an island. Mm-hmm. The seafood there is amazing.
Yeah, you don't think of the seafood.
And you're on this island. You've got the most beautiful the prawns that you know the fresh fish. And right now that country's just popping so much, and all the new chefs that are there. And it's just really exciting.
What about those big giant cliffs? What are those?
The Cliffs of Moher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
You ever follow the end of the rainbow and found the end over there?
I'm still following the rainbow.
So you got a phone number if people wanted to call in for some catering or?
219-764-4995.
Okay.
219-764-4995.
We got only maybe 4 minutes left of the show. If somebody wants to call in, 769-9577. I know everyone's kind of busy out there. There's a lot hitting them in the face right now this week. It's been a busy, busy week. Program note for us, we're actually going to not be on the air for the next few weeks, Sharon.
Right.
You'll probably hear Clancy's Public House next Friday as a replay, but we're going to be off for a little bit to be playing it safe.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Well, they might lock you in.
Yeah, right.
So why do they call it corned beef?
Because it's corned.
And what does that mean by corned?
It's the process, and most of it now, it's somewhat like pickling, I guess. It was something that was done, you know, back in the day.
Now, my meat science professor told me at Purdue that it's called corned beef because when they used to season it, like you said, they seasoned it with salt. But the salt back then was the size of a corn kernel. So they used to say, hey, grab that that beef and let's corn it. And that's what my professor, Forrest, that was his name. He was a meat science professor at Purdue, and that's what he said. That's how the term came about. You know, people think they feed on corn. It's nothing to do with that. It's just the salt was the size of corn.
Wow, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, and actually, that salt is more of a nitrate. It's a really, you know, it's strong.
All these really good little history tidbits here. I like it.
So, who do you want to thank?
First, I want to thank you guys for having us.
Well, thanks for coming in on a really stressful day.
Yeah, thanks for definitely putting yourself out and coming over.
Yeah, because you've actually kind of brightened us up, especially your shirt.
Definitely. And I miss you, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you for a couple weeks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Carrie, who do you want to thank? We only got a couple minutes left.
I'd like to thank our patrons and the staff. We have an amazing staff, and I'm really, really proud of what we have to offer.
And how about you?
I'm right there with her. I want to, you know what, we've been there for 18 years with the grace of God and with the help of the people of Portage, and I can never thank them enough for allowing us to stay and be part of their lives and their family.
Well, Sharon, we want to thank the folks from Clancy's Public House. Do you ever call yourself an Irish pub, or is it always Public House?
I prefer Public House, but there's nothing wrong with pub. Okay, that's so okay.
We want to thank Brendan and Carrie from Clancy's Public House out of Portage for visiting us here on a kind of a busy day. I want to thank everyone out there for listening. Hey, you know what? Everyone out there, you know, there's good days ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Give us a few weeks. We'll be out of this. Next thing you know, we'll all be spending money because we haven't been spending money and we've been kind of down. So it's time to try to get happy, be safe, stay sterile.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see you in a few weeks here on Let's Eat. With Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. And then, you know what? All I got to say is Yasu!